number of temptations. Verse 28. But he or they that have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto your kingdom, even as my Father appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and ye shall sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I want to read a verse or two about these temptations. He said, you have continued with me in my temptations, just to let you see how the scripture tells us. Turn to Matthew 19. I'll try to bring several to your attention, but just read one verse or two. Matthew 19, verse 3. And there came unto him Pharisees, tempting him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, chapter 22. Verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might ensnare him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, and carest not for anyone, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you tempt me? Why do you make trial of me, you hypocrites? And look at verse 23. On that day there came to him Sadducees that say there is no resurrection. Verse 34. But the Pharisees, when they heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. You see? Here are illustrations that the Spirit of God has given us of the temptations that beset our Lord his whole life long. Now, let's read a little bit in John's Gospel, chapter 17. One verse in John's Gospel, and then two verses in Hebrews, and we shall proceed, God willing. Verse 3. This is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, Jesus Christ. I glorify thee on the earth. I finish the work which thou gavest me to do. Keep that in mind. I glorify thee on the earth. Now, Hebrews 2. Maybe tonight we'll get to these. Hebrews 2, verse 18. Christ has become in all things like unto his brethren apart from sin. And it says in verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to come to the aid of them that are tempted. And the last scripture in chapter 4, verse 14. Having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and may find grace to help in time of need. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, we're thankful that you have not only given us those portions that impart light to us, that we who are children of darkness may become children of light, but you have given us as well those portions that provide sufficiency in all things that pertain to life and godliness. We thank you for the completeness of your word. We are thankful, our Father, that we are able to hold in our hands this book that enables us, if we obey it, to live acceptably in thy sight. We thank you for it. Let us love it, and let us respect it more and more as we grow older in Christ. And for those who knew it as children and have forgotten, may they think again what they've left behind, and may there be brought to their minds those precious things that they learned as children. Have we not heard the children speak this morning? Some perhaps are in the world, our God, who spoke scriptures in our ears years ago. Restore for a faith through the word that is still in their heart, we pray. And our Father, let us know the things that will help us to be better men and women of God. You know our sins. We confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And we know that you shall, because you have promised. And you are God who promises, and you cannot lie. We thank you for this, our Father. And prepare the hearts of those who hear, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What I want to know is this. Concerning all of these scriptures that I read to you about temptation and sin, you think from a reverent, intelligent consideration of them, that we who are God's children can escape these temptations and live to the glory of God and not in sin? Do you think that that is what these verses convey? You say, it certainly seems so. It certainly does. If Israel had a high priest that could contain their sins a year at the time, and we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, certainly he can do as much and more for us than Aaron did for the children of Israel, and that is true. And when you read the portions that we read together tonight, you say there seems to be an assurance here that we Christians do not have to sin, and that is true. And I believe I can go so far as to say this, that you do not have to sin, and you will not sin if you allow God to fulfill the promises that he's given us in his word. I think I know the reason why we do fail in spite of all the good things that I've read. I learned it from a man years ago who constantly smoked cigarettes. I said to him, you know that those things are not good for your lungs. And sad to say, I saw him just the other day, and he is confined, and he has oxygen that he has to breathe all the time. But this was years before, and I said, you know those cigarettes are not good for you. Do you want me to pray that God will deliver you from the bondage of tobacco? And he said, no, no, never do that. I love them too much. And I can understand it. Just as perhaps you and I would enjoy a cup of coffee, which is not the same as the cigarettes in destroying you if you do it in moderation. What I understood this man to say was this. I do not want you to pray to God to take my desire for cigarettes away because I enjoy them so much. I understand. Then, if I had prayed and he had entered into that prayer with me and laid hold on the power of God, could he have been delivered from the tobacco addiction? The answer is yes. But, he said, I do not want to be. Let me ask you this. Do you think that concerning Samson and Delilah, that God could have delivered Samson from Delilah, had Samson desired that deliverance? You say, yes. But why, instead of being delivered, was he destroyed? Because Samson did not want that deliverance. and I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, and the sins that beset us are the sins that we do not want to be taken away from us. That is the substance of it, because there is sufficiency in the Word to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. But I'm afraid that Delilah, tobacco, drug addiction, all of these things must bring pleasure to the individual that indulges in them. And for that reason, he says, don't pray that God would take these desires away. Even though this man is now ruined physically, cannot go anywhere without taking oxygen with him and breathing it in, because he was addicted to tobacco, and now it has destroyed his lungs and his health. And if you look at Samson, who would say to you, do not pray for me to be taken away from the lava. Don't do that. And if we look at Samson, he's blind, and he is grinding as a beast of burden by the Philistines, who captured him and put out his eyes after they cut off his hair. So you think of these things, and what happens is this, that Samson did not have to be destroyed, and this friend of mine did not have to have his health ruined, and the judgment that fell on Thyatira. You have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira. There was a woman there named Jezebel, and the Savior says, I gave her time to repent, but she willeth not to repent. He said, therefore, my judgment shall fall upon her and all that are associated with her. Notice, she willeth not to repent. And it's the same way for all unsaved people. Why is it that you're not saved? The answer is, I do not will to be saved. That's the Savior's answer. You will not come unto me that you may have life. How often would I? You will not come to me. So, here I am, imperfect, failing, and it's not because the faithful promises of God are untrue, but I'm afraid that they are too true, and I do not want to observe them too closely, because some of the things that are so pleasant to me in life might be taken away from me. But what happens is, when I think of Samson, blinded and grinding at the grist mill like a beast of burden, and I see this dear friend of mine, his health ruined, I think of that, and I say, perhaps, O God, you should put in my heart that desire to be delivered, because that is what Christ is for. And that is what I want to tell you about Christ's continuance in obedience and in victory over his temptations. What is the outcome of it? And I want you to see the outcome Godward and the outcome manward. What is the outcome Godward? Every temptation that was placed before the Lord Jesus Christ, he overcame those temptations. And this is what he said. I read it to you in John 17. He said, I glorified you on the earth. I finished the work that you gave me to do. How many of us can say that? But I'm afraid that temptations have been cast in our path, but we have been overcome by those temptations, and it was not necessary that we be overcome by those temptations. I think of this verse, and I will quote it to you. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You say, well, that verse tells me that there is a way of escape. Yes. And you know what the next verse says? Flee from idolatry. And so, what it is this. It's when a sinner in his sins is drawn by the Spirit of God. He flees from the wrath to come into the saving arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who are tempted for idolatry or whatever besetting sin, if we flee into the arms of the Lord Jesus, as it says, flee idolatry. As he says to Timothy, flee fornication. You say, well, is that the way of God's deliverance? It is the way of God's deliverance as it was in the case of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. I assure you that had he remained there praying, we would have read a different history in the book of Genesis about Joseph than we did. But he fled fornication and flee from idolatry. And this is what God is telling us. He says he will make a way of escape. And what is the way of escape? Run for your life. That's what he says concerning those in Matthew 24. Let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains. You say, well, how am I going to escape? He says, flee to the mountains. When they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. That's God's way of escape. It is common sense. It is reading what he tells us to do, and no matter what they might think of you, if he says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to the next, they'll think I'm a coward. The Savior said, flee. Flee to the mountains. Flee to the next city. Flee fornication. Flee idolatry. Therefore, the way of escape is set forth simply in his word, and at times, it's no miraculous overpowering of us. It is simply God working in us and our responding to the working of God within us. God says, run, and we can do the rest. It's just that simple. And not to run and say, oh God, I was not able to overcome that temptation. Jezebel, I was not able to be delivered from the sin. He said, I gave you time to repent. You will not to repent. I want us all to see this in the proper light, that we may not go into God's presence and say, why did this happen? Whereas I think that secretly we know why these things happen. We will them to happen. All right. I say that divine Godward, the Lord Jesus Christ, glorified the Father in heaven. Manward, what was the outcome of Christ going through life, overcoming every temptation? As for us, I read it to you in Hebrews 2 and in Hebrews 4. So listen again. It says that inasmuch as he hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You see? He suffered himself being tempted. Therefore, he is able to come to the aid of others that are tempted. And it says that he's gone into heaven, a great high priest. And therefore, let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Therefore, the mercy and the grace to help in time of need are there. But there are some who say, I do not want it. Please do not deliver me from my besetting sin. But what Christ is telling us is this: I have overcome, and my overcoming imparts to you the power to overcome. Listen to his words in Revelation 3. Having told them that are lukewarm at Laodicea, he warns them what is going to happen, but he says, understand this, he that overcometh, I shall give to sit down with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So think of this. The Lord Jesus goes through life overcoming every temptation. He said, I overcame. And when he gets to heaven, the Father says, sit at thy right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And the Savior says to us weaklings on earth, he said, if you overcome as a father had me to sit down at his hand, right hand on his throne, I will have you to sit down with me in my throne. Now think of the greatness of that reward. I know in a coming day, when some shall sit with Christ in heaven, the overcomers, you and I who simply have been saved and have lived this reputable life, we shall be there if we've trusted the precious blood of Christ. But there are positions in glory. There's one on his right hand, one on his left hand. There's one over a few cities, one over many cities. There are positions in the world to come. And some of us are not going to have any position in the world to come. There's not going to be any actual nearness to Christ other than what we are through salvation. And that is what he's telling us in Revelation 3. He says, I have a throne. It's going to be mine in the coming day. Now I'm sitting down with the Father in his throne. And in that coming day, you may sit with me in my throne. And this is the way that the Lord Jesus assists us. Remember that. we are thinking of something miraculous, something supernatural, that not everyone has the same experience that others do. I've heard people say, the day that I got saved, I had no more desire to smoke a cigarette. The day I got saved, I never had another desire to touch a drop of whiskey for the rest of my life. And whatever their besetting sin was, some of them say, I was never tempted again. I'm afraid that most of us find ourselves the day after we're saved still having those temptations, because the Bible says, the Lord Jesus telling his disciples, you are they that have continued with me in my temptations. And as I told you what he promised in Revelation 3, this is what he promises in Luke chapter 22. He says, you have continued with me in my temptations. All right. What is the reward of those that continue with him in his temptations? Overcoming them. Fellowshipping with him. He said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed unto me, and you shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and you shall eat and drink with me at my table. That is unthinkable, that in a coming day I shall sit with God's Son and dine with him, that I shall reign over the multitudes. And yet that is what he says. He says, for you that have continued with me in my temptations, this is going to be your reward. And so it may seem hard now, but Paul says, I reckon that, and then he speaks about the insignificant sufferings of this present age. They are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And yet we think of the severity, the intensity, the burden of the pains of this age. But Paul says, they are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And I'm thinking of our temptations, and then I'm thinking of the reward of those that continue with Christ in his temptations, and I assure you that whatever we miss out on in this world, according to the flesh, it shall be manifold rewarded in the world to come, so that we shall think back and say, what an exchange I made, that besetting sin for this, and Christ has made that promise to us. So remember, some continue with Christ in his temptation, and I'm going to show you how now. Listen to those that continue with Christ in his temptation. Do you remember I read to you? The Lord Jesus is tempted to perform miracles. And the Lord Jesus says, I am not going to perform a miracle. I've shown you enough signs. I'm not going to do any more. All right. The temptation today is this. Someone comes and says, do you believe the Bible? Of course I do. Well then, let's see miracles today. Where I go, there are miracles performed. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, I believe in miracles. Well, why don't you perform some miracles today? The Lord Jesus said, I performed these miracles. He said, I'm not going to perform any more miracles. And yet here are the disciples, and the Lord Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do it. And here I am today, boasting about the way of God more perfectly, as Aquila and Priscilla told Apollos, and yet there are those that say, we experience the power of God. We can perform miracles. I tell you that I'm going to continue with Christ in his temptation, who performed so many miracles when he was on earth, and no more. And miracles were performed by Peter and Andrew and James and John and Paul and the others. He performed so many miracles, and then he stopped. And now they say, perform them. And I say, the Lord Jesus has never, in my experience, performed miracles the way he did when he was on earth, and when Peter and Paul and the other apostles were performing miracles. And we have to go through life and continue with him in that temptation. Do you understand? No further physical, visible evidence of the miraculous from heaven. Christ performed the miracles when he was on earth, and we continue with him when they tempt us to do more. And Christ said, no more. And we say, my Savior said, no more. And therefore, I am going to stick by him whatever criticism comes my way, whatever accusation of powerlessness and not preaching the entire word of God. I'm going to continue with Christ in his temptation. Remember that. But now, let me tell you some scriptural continuation with Christ in his temptation, some actual ones. when Christ preached the truth, and that's why I read to you in Matthew 19, here is a question asked the Lord about divorce, and he gives an answer. Here is a question answered about paying tribute money to Caesar, and Christ answered that question. They are temptations, it says. And the Lord Jesus said, you have continued with me in my temptations. And therefore, when Christ spoke truth, then, as it says in Romans 15:4, concerning him, the Lord Jesus said, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell upon me. And in like manner, a standing for the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, the reproaches of them that reproach you, Lord Jesus, have fallen upon me. And if you continue with him in his temptation, you look at all the doctrines that he preached, and you take a stand for them, and you continue with him in his temptation, because his temptation was to alter these doctrines, to make them weaker, to do away with them, that he would be more popular. But the Lord Jesus would never change the truth of God. He spoke the truth of God without respect of persons. And he said, you are they that have continued with me in my temptations. Now let me give you the example. In John chapter 6, our Savior has been telling them wonderful truth. He said, I am the bread of God that came down from heaven. They said, how does he tell us he came down from heaven? We know his family. We know his brothers and his sisters. How does he say that? And next he said, you have to eat my flesh, and you have to drink my blood. They murmured and said, this is a hard saying. And finally he said, doth this cause you to stumble? Said, if you shall see the Son of Man ascending to heaven where he was before. It says, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They did not continue with him in his temptation. He told them the truth. And if all his disciples left him, he would let them leave him. The temptation was to seek to get Christ to alter these truths, but the Lord Jesus would never alter the truths. And then the multitude of his disciples went back. Many of his disciples therefore went back and walked no more with him. The Lord Jesus turned to the 12, and he said, will you also go away? This is continuing with him in his temptation. Listen. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, did I not choose you 12? Do you see how pleasing that was to the heart of Christ? They were willing to continue with him in his temptations. The others left the Lord Jesus. And sad to say, there are those whom I have taught personally the truths of God, and they have said to themselves, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And they have turned back, and they walk no more with me. Why? Not because of error that I've taught them, but because of truth that I've taught them, like unto that in John chapter 6. But you do not say, well, let us remain friends. Let us set aside this truth that I've told you. The Lord Jesus never compromised. When the rich young ruler asked him what he had to do to inherit eternal life, the Savior told him what he had to do. And when he turned his back on the Savior and walked away, the Lord Jesus let him walk away. And when his disciples went away and walked no more with him, the Lord Jesus let them go away, and he turned to the others and he said, will you also go away? And that is when they continued with him in his temptation. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That is continuing with Christ in his temptations. Do you understand? And that is what we have to do. No matter how hard the doctrines are, if they are Christ's doctrines, we continue with him in the temptation to alter these doctrines, to deny them, to reject them, to neglect them, to turn our backs on them. We do all of the things with Christ, and we continue with him in his temptations. And at times, it is hard, but we must do that. And so for this reason, if you said, you know how corrupt politicians are, yes. You know how they waste our money, yes. Well, is it all right for me if I cheat on the income tax? No. I'm sorry. The Lord Jesus was asked that very question. And some of the Jews were hating for the answer that he gave. They were going to entangle him in his talk. It says, if you read in Luke, I told you this, they asked him this question, and the temptation was that they might catch him in his speech and then take what he said and report it to the authorities, and he would be arrested and imprisoned, and he would be dishonored, and he would be out of the way. And so they asked him, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And the Lord Jesus said, show me a penny, you hypocrites. He said, whose is the image and superscription? Why, it's Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And they marveled. And so he did not say, yes, do everything Caesar says. But he did not say, do nothing that Caesar says. He put it in such a way that they were not able to lay hold on those words. And so, as it says in the book of Romans, that we are to give tribute to whom tribute is due. Notice, you do not give it if it's not due. You withhold everything you may legitimately can, but you must give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. And the Lord Jesus answered it that way, and they were not able to take his words and report him to the authorities. They would like to do such a thing. And what I have discovered when people ask some questions about the Bible, they do not want answers. They simply want to hear your answer. And no matter what you tell them, they're going to twist it one way or the other to put you in jeopardy. It's like this. If they say, let's take this woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8. It says they were tempting him there. They said, we caught this woman in adultery in the very act. He said, now Moses in the law tells us to stone such. What do you say? Now think, no matter what he said, they could encase him, they could capture him, they could take his words and destroy him. If he said, stone the woman, they could say, this heartless individual, what kind of man is this? And then if he said, do not stone, what kind of man is this that would have us to break the law of God? And so if he answered one way, they would accuse him. If he answered another way, they would accuse him. But the Lord Jesus always had a way that they knew not of. And listen to what he said. They said, Moses in the law commanded us to stone such. What do you say? The Lord Jesus said, stone her. And he said, let the one that is without sin among you first cast the stone at her. He upheld the law of Moses, and at the same time, he was able to bestow mercy upon that woman, because these hypocrites were guilty of the very sin that they were accusing this woman of. And so the Lord Jesus said, stone her. But you have to be without sin if you're going to do it. And so in like manner, you remember. That's why many things here and in Goldsboro and in the Assemblies are never done. It's because, as it says in Galatians chapter 6, if any man be overtaken in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You who are spiritual. And most of us, as the Lord Jesus said, yes, that's right, restore, deal with this person that sinned. It says, if you are spiritual. And it says that those in John 8 to whom Christ spoke, they were so ashamed, they were convicted by their own conscience. They walked away from the Lord Jesus and left the woman alone in his midst. And in like manner, there are sins here and in Goldsboro and in many assemblies. And they're not dealt with because of the imperfection of the ones that are supposed to be spiritual. I know. If there were those that were holy and pure and were devoted to the Lord, if we had those like Phinehas, then things could be done. But what happens? How could Aaron ever execute people for having anything to do with idolatry? He's the one that built the idol. How could he accuse them? And in like manner, what could Samson ever say to people that committed adultery? And at the same time, what could you and I say who are guilty of so many sins and we see these shortcomings in others, and yet some of us in spite of that are hypocrites, and the Lord Jesus points us out when he says, how is it that you say to your brother, let me get that speck of dirt out of your eye, while there's a large piece of wood in your eye? How is it that you say that? And so what the Lord Jesus says is this, I want the word of God carried out, but I want it carried out by those that are worthy
to carry it out.
And so if you say, well, none of us are worthy and none of us will ever be able to carry it out, then perhaps the Lord will remove our candlestick. I know not. But at least we must have a modicum of integrity. And you who are spiritual, we must have at least that so that we can carry out the judgments that are described in the Word of God. And if you do not, then you have not continued with Christ in his temptations. I told you about those who have. Peter, will you and the rest go away? No, we're not going away. There's nobody else to go to. The Lord Jesus, you do continue with me in my temptations. And let me give you the example, and this is remarkable. You would never think it, but Thomas was one who continued with him in his temptations. In John chapter 11, when Lazarus has died, the Lord Jesus has just left Judea, escaping for his life. And now he says, we go to Judea to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the disciples said, Rabbi, they were just seeking to kill thee, and are you going back again? And the Lord Jesus spoke a few words to him and said, we are going. We go to see our friend Lazarus. And Thomas said to them, let us also go, that we may die with him. Praise God for that. Here are some who say, I know that his course is going to result in destruction, but I love him so much and I'm determined to continue with him in his temptations. I'm going back to Judea and I'm going to die with him. And what he found out is that not only did he not die with the Lord Jesus, but a man who was dead was brought back to life again. And that's what he wants us to know. And here is encouragement for you who are not old Christians, you are young Christians. The blind man in John chapter 9 was one who continued with Christ in his temptation. How? The authorities said, give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. And this blind man kept defending the Lord Jesus. And finally they said, we do not know where this man is from. We know where Moses came from. He was sent from God. And finally the man whose eyes Jesus opened said this, thy hearing is the marvel that you know not where this man came from, and yet he opened my eyes. He said, since the world began, it's never been heard that anybody opened the eyes of the blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And it said they hated him for it. They said to him, you were altogether born in sin, and they cast him out. I see. That man continued with Jesus in his temptation. But some of us, if we know that they're going to ostracize us, if we're going to be rejected of our friends, we will not stand up and speak for the Lord Jesus. But this new convert did, the one whose eyes had just been opened. He said, why, you can't figure this out where he's from? He has to be from God. He opened my eyes. And at the same time, if I were a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me, he made me a new creature in himself. And you do not know where he came from. And so we stand with Christ and we continue with him in his temptations. But what happens is this, that you and I are too much like the ones I am going to tell you about. It says in John 6 that some were unable to endure his doctrines. Who can listen to this? Who can accept the teachings of Jesus? And it says they went back and they walked no more with him. It's not that Jesus told them lies, but the truths that he told were difficult temptations, and yet they were truths. And Peter and Andrew and James and John and the others, they continued with Christ in these temptations. But those in John chapter 6 went back and walked no more with the Lord. This. You have Demas. We're going to leave the Lord Jesus and go to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4 says, Demas hath forsaken me, having left this present world, and hath gone to Thessalonica. I see. And so Paul was preaching the truth, and Demas was not prepared to continue with Paul in his temptation. And so he forsakes Paul, and he goes to Thessalonica. He left this present world. Is that a description of us? And at the same time, further along, it says, at my first defense, nobody took my part, but they all forsook me. May it not be laid to my charge, to their charge. And so here is this man of God, so faithful, but they were not prepared to continue with him in his temptations. And therefore, when they should be with him to strengthen him and comfort him, it says, nobody took my part. And finally, he has to say, but the Lord stood by me. The Lord delivered me. And that's what Paul was reduced to. So there are those who are not continuing with Christ in his temptations, and in the coming days they shall receive their reward. But by God's grace, let us encourage the heart of Christ and continue with him in his temptations. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that we are aware that we could live more for you than we do, and do more for you than we do. And when we say, why am I not able to, in honestly searching our own hearts, we know why. So, let us remember those verses, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And let us be prepared, as those imperfect disciples at first, to continue with Christ in his temptations, knowing that thy Son is able to come to our assistance. He's able to succor us. He himself has been tempted. And let us realize that by going to the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So first of all, Father, put in us that willingness to be delivered from our temptations, and then by thy grace, deliver us from temptation. Help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.